Are you new to prospecting and feeling a little overwhelmed? Maybe to the point where you've made some bad choices about getting into the right places to go find gold? If that's you, stick around. This entire episode of Gold Trails on the Gold is designed to help you become a better prospector to miner. Hey everybody, I'm Kevin Hoagland, the host of Gold Trails and On the Gold. And over four decades ago, I was standing right where you are now, feeling overwhelmed about the entire process. And that's when I decided to put together a little system and put every step of what I do into compartments. And by putting everything in those compartments, it has led to a great deal of success for me over all these decades. And I want to share with you those steps right now. Let's get started. We are talking about the feeling of being overwhelmed. And believe me, I know that feeling all too well. When I first started out prospecting on my own, it becomes overwhelming. About 40 years ago, I learned to look at everything that I was doing and then compartmentalize it. So this is all about eliminating that overwhelming feeling while building confidence in your skills. And the more confidence that you build, the better prospector and the better miner you'll be. Hey, Kevin, I understand you have a question for us today from a GPAA member by the name of Ron Clark that deals exactly with that overwhelming feeling and making bad choices at times. So sure. Why don't you go ahead and read the question, and then I just want to jump right into it.
Okay. Ron, Ron asked, just starting to get out on my own, and I'm feeling overwhelmed with all of it. And I picked a few not so good spots because of that. Any advice?
Again, been there, done that, yeah. Got the t-shirt. Yeah, I mean, everybody does it, Ron. Everybody has done it. You, especially when you first start going out on your own. I mean, for me, when I was with my mentors and my friends, when I first got started into prospecting when I was a little kid, it was simple because they had all the answers. And I was learning all of this. And really, you know, really putting tools in the toolbox. But that very first time that you go out or those first attempts that you go out on your own. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll share this with you. When I first really started going out on my own, I was in the Randsburg, Duesenberg, Ridgecrest, Trona area, that whole area through there. And I remember one of my very first trips. I'd gone out in a few other places, not with a lot of success. And when I got out here to this big chunk of open desert, and I got out of the truck and I just looked out across this desert, you know, the first thing that hit me was, oh my God, this thing's huge. Yeah. Where am I going to start?
Lots of real estate.
Incredible amount of real estate. And that's when I realized that by not doing certain things, I really wasn't going to get on the gold the way that I wanted to. I mean, I knew there was gold all through that area. And I could probably go out and, you know, look for where maybe somebody had been in the past and things like this and maybe got onto some gold. But was it going to be good gold? So I sat down and I started looking. I just started thinking about a big plan. And what I decided to do was create a box in my mind and put compartments in that box. And it started from the decision of going out to the finality or the final part of actually starting mining. And what I did is as I started building this box, I would move things around, put them where they needed to be. And the confidence builder that this had with me will eliminate, if you use the same system, it will eliminate those times where you say, I've picked a few good spots because I'm sorry, a few bad spots, because when you pick a few bad spots, you start to question yourself. Mm-hmm. You start to question if you have the tools that you need.
Yeah.
This is so very, very simple. So Let's get started. Ron, for you and everybody else, I'm going to share with you six steps that took me from being a overwhelmed prospector, even questioning my own decisions, because just like you, I'd picked a few bad spots. And I mean, it happens. And Kevin, I know it's happened to you when you first got started. It's happened to everybody. So don't beat yourself up over it. Just start taking some steps to eliminate it. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, with each step that I'm going to share with you, each one builds confidence. And confidence in mining and confidence in yourself is what will make you successful as a prospector and as a miner. The very first step is make a decision that you are going to go prospecting, and you put a time limit on that. I'm going to go prospecting next weekend. I'm going to go prospecting when I'm on my vacation. You set that in stone, and that is something that you are going to work to achieve. Mm-hmm. Now, after that, in the same step, is you've made a decision. Now you have to pick an area. That's it. It's that first step is that easy. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to pick an area. Now, if you're a GPAA member, picking an area is pretty simple. If you live in Oklahoma and you want to go to Colorado, you're going to jump on the online mining guide and you're going to take a look at some of the claims and you're going to find a claim that we have that works for you. Mm-hmm. And kind of matches your skills or whatever you want to do. You pick an area. You read the reviews on that area. You look at, see what other members are doing. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't get hung up on if you read a couple of bad reviews and then you read a few good reviews, because really at that point in time, a lot of it depends upon the knowledge of the person that's out there on the site. And I'm not belittling anybody. It's not anything like that. But, you know, Kevin, you had an instance just like this on a claim that we have in California with the GPAA. There was somebody that put a not really good review on it. And why don't you just tell that real quick?
Yeah, that was a 3R claim. And they had put a bad review saying, great place, no gold. And they put some pictures in, and where they were mining was 20 feet away from where you parked. And it's kind of like that pool where you go fishing. The pool right next to the parking lot rarely has fish.
Right.
And we ended up moving up the upstream about 100 yards, 200 yards, mm-hmm. and was finding all kinds of good spots to work. You know, not all of them had color, but good spots to work. And actually some great spots to metal detect.
Right.
Just moving, you know, 2-3 minutes from the car.
Right. So that is one of the biggest things that you can do when you're making a decision on where you're going to go. As a GPA member, you've got that online mining guide and you can read those reviews from different people. And, you know, you can pick what sounds the best for you.
And of course, matches your skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, matches your skill set, matches your level. And maybe if you think it's a little bit too advanced, look, there's nothing wrong with going on the GPA forum site and putting in a post under the claim saying, hey, I'm thinking about going to XXX claim. Has anybody been there? And do you have any thoughts of it? You know, so you've got that tool. And you've got the print mining guide and so on like that. But all right. You're listening to this, but you're not a member of the GPAA. It's real simple. And I think Kevin said it the best when we were talking about this a week ago. Every place in the United States where gold has been found is a named location.
Yes. Name location, plenty of spots that you can find on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you type in California Motherlode, or Highway 49 in California, which is the mother load road.
Sure.
You can pick any town. You can pick any of those areas. And believe me, you're going to be able to find something out about it. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not, you know, you at that point, you're going to have a lot more footwork to do, but it's fine because it all is part of building that confidence. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's step one. Made the decision. Picked a place. Step number two is your research. Your research of that area is absolutely important. I mean, it's what will make you or break you. When you're researching the area that you have chosen, all you are doing is establishing that gold has been found there.
Right.
That's it. That's all you're doing.
Right.
I'll talk to you about taking things out of the box at this point. But all you want to know is that you picked an area where gold has been found.
Right.
And that right there is a big boost to the confidence.
Yeah. And there's plenty of information online, you know, historic books, articles, mining reports, all of those things are available, you know, easily available.
And yes,
again,
absolutely.
Back to those name places, lots of information.
Yeah. I'm going to share this with you, and this is really where I started compartmentalizing everything and doing what needed to be done to establish that gold had been found in an area and give me that confidence and start building the blocks. And there's a series of books that have been written by Maureen Johnson. Now, these books cover Arizona, California, a couple of places, a couple of parts of California, Oregon, Utah, Idaho, Colorado. I mean, there's a lot of them, but these are all based on pretty much just government information. These are basic mining reports that were submitted to the federal government or the territorial governments and so on like that. And these were what were the building blocks. And the one for Arizona, Placer Gold Deposits of Arizona, Maureen Johnson, based on late 1800s information, was and has still today, or is still today, one of my greatest pieces of research that I use. Because if I'm going to pick an area, I'm going to grab that book. I'm going to you know, throw my dart, teasingly, throw my dart at the board and say, okay, I'm going to go hunt in this area. Now let me see what I can find. So I was looking for a spot. I'd made a decision. I knew I was going to go prospecting. But I made a decision to go into a particular area, and I went into Johnson's book, and the book is very, very complete. I mean, in some cases, it even shows township, section, and range, and so on like that. So you've got an incredible amount of information, but I don't care about that, not yet. But I'm reading in Johnson's book, and there is an area that I've now been working for over 20 years, and I'm still doing very, very well in this area, that said two men with a rocker box were making about $3 a day, somewhere between $3 and $4 a day. Now, to me, that was extremely exciting because $3 or $4 a day at 1800s gold price, which was $16 an ounce, is about a quarter of an ounce a day with a rocker box. Now, the next part of that was the material that they were working, and there was a little bit more about the material. The material that they were working were silted gravels in medium-sized cobble with on a caliche or a conglomerate base. Now, some of that I found in Johnson's book, but by finding what I was looking for, I found another report that really talked about the material that was being worked in that particular area. So that established to me that gold was being found there and that they were using a rocker box and that they were working silted gravels in medium cobbles on a caliche or conglomerate base. Perfect. Step two is to establish gold. Nothing else matters. I now knew that gold was being found there. So I took everything out, like where they were finding the gold, the silted gravels. And I took that out of that box and I put it over into my planning box. And I took rocker box and I took that out and I put that over into my gear box. So all I've done is establish that gold is there. That's all I wanted to do. I've picked an area that does have a record of gold being found. And when you look at Johnson's books, most of these areas that they're talking about was over 500 ounces. I mean, a lot of these peripheral areas where they found maybe 50, 60 ounces didn't make it into the book. So there's always those peripherals, but that's when you learn to start looking for those things. Now we're going to start our planning. I've taken the information of where the gold was being found, the silted gravels and so on like that, and I've put that into the planning box. I took the equipment, put that into the gear box. And now I'm going to start planning. Now this is where the mapping comes in. And I'm going to do a screen share here in a couple of minutes, but when you start doing your planning, first off, if you're a GPA member and you've established your area and so on like that, this is where you jump onto the online mining guide and you're reading more and more reports. You're looking at rules and regulations. You're knowing exactly where you're at. And you're also picking up the phone and calling state directors. You're calling chapters and asking about the area, if there's a chapter fairly close to that. So you're doing that. That's the very, very beginning. You're going to establish that, you know, this area that you've picked, you want to make sure that when you get there, you can do things there. So now we're going to talk about mapping. Mapping is the core of everything. And in this day and age with Google Maps and everything else in Google Earth, you've got all of this great satellite mapping. And I love satellite mapping because as Kevin and I have talked about in the past, and I love the way he says it, it's just virtual boots on the ground, which it is. But you don't get the information that you truly, truly need. And I'm going to tell you that topo maps are the king.
Yes.
Because topo maps show you everything that you need to know. Everything. Hey, for all of you that are listening to the podcast right now, I apologize, but not really, because this is a podcast and a webcast both. And I'm getting ready to run some visuals. I'm going to ask Kevin to do a screen share here in just a second. And I'm going to show a whole lot of stuff about mapping and how to look at maps and do some different things. So if you are listening to this as a podcast, I invite you to go to our YouTube channel, Gold Trails TV, all one word, Gold Trails TV on YouTube, and you'll be able to see all the visuals that I'm talking about for about the next, I don't know, probably 10 minutes. I don't know how long it's going to last. And if you are watching this and you're new to the webcast, I also invite you to go to onthegold.buzzsprout.com and listen to the webcast if that's more convenient when you're out driving. Because quite frankly, a lot of the stuff that we're covering, you could probably listen to it a couple of times. So that will give everybody the option of either watching it as a webcast or listening to the podcast. All right, Kevin, it's time to it's time to get some graphics up here.
Okay.
Kevin, I've got an area up. I'm going to do a quick screen share with you.
Okay.
And tell me when you have my screen.
Yep, we're good.
All right. This is a topo map of an area that I've been working for about 20, 25 years. And believe me, when I first started this, all I had was a paper map and a compass, and I had to figure out everything from that point. So I've got a pin dropped here because I wanted to use this as an example. And when I'm looking at this from a topo view, I have a huge amount of information. I've got mines that are listed. I've got these mines that are listed. I can see where the prospects were, where the adits were, where the mine shafts were, and I'll share that with you very, very quickly. The three things that you really need to learn about reading a topo map are, aside from elevation clicks, so you can see how steep it is and how gradual the runouts are, is these three symbols right here. This first symbol is an X, and that is to designate a mine or a prospect. So these were registered. These were places that people were working, or when they did the topographical surveys and so on like that, they were able to locate that, put it into the system. Now, the next one is this square, and this really looks bad on this one. But what it is, it's a square box that half of it is blacked out on the diagonal. And that is an adit, which means the entrance to a mine. And then this other one, and one that's very, very important, which really doesn't show up very well here. Let me see if I can find, oh, there, we got one right there. See this Y? That is a mine shaft. It's a mine shaft or a cave. So if we come up here to the Big Chief, we have an adit, which we can't really see. because of the name. And then we have the mine shaft. Now that's a mine shaft or a claim, or I'm sorry, or a cave. That's the only designation. And if you look at any paper topo map, or if you go to USGS and start looking at maps, there are pages of legends that will tell you what all of this stuff means. All right, so I've picked this area. This is not the area that I was talking about in the second step or my, where I made that choice. But if I'm looking at the way the water flows through here and getting down and really starting to look at this, I can see where water flow was channeled, where it was narrow, the channel was narrow, and then it would wide out. Where it wides out is where gold's going to deposit if we're, you know, doing a placer deposits and so on like that. But in this, in the site that I was looking at, I was looking for areas that looked more like what was described. Areas where the silted gravels, medium cobble, and a caliche base or a conglomerate base. Well, it'd been nice if that would have been a sandbar, but I already know it's not because it's got a different type base. So you just start looking at a topo map, and this is where a lot of this new satellite mapping, and I say new like, you know, like it just came around the corner. But when I'm looking at this from a satellite view, the same area, and I can see these washes. I already know that this is a wash. This is pretty narrow through here, and then it widens out. And if I go back to the topo view, you know, you can see the, you can see that course. And then let's come up here to the known water course right in through here. So we're going to look at that in topo, and we're going to look at that in this view. This tells you a lot. So if I were looking for those places that I was looking for in that first one or in my chosen area, I'm going to start looking at satellite photos and see where I can find things like this is a hill. And I can see that in the topo view. So I'm going to look at the, how fast that hill came. Understanding elevation lines is real simple. There's always going to be a point. So this is 5,800 feet. That peak is 5,764. So there's my 58. There's my 5,400. There's my 56. So this is 58. This ties in. This is 56. This is 54. So it gives you so much information.
Right.
And just spend time. Just spend time looking at a topo map. And again, with today, with everything that we have today, doing this and looking at a topo and then flicking over to here and looking at the satellite view is huge. Mm-hmm. Now, I use the program called Mindcache because now that I've got all of this, I want to see something. I want to see even more about this area. And right off the bat, I want to see what claims are here. So I'm going to look at current claims in this area. I want to get that view. So these are claims that are in that area, and it takes a moment to populate. And this gives you an idea where people are still working. But this is the most important view to me, is not what's going on right now, but what was happening in the past.
Wow.
These are all the claims that back to the beginning of recording with the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Interior, the Forest Service, and everything. These are all the claims that were listed in that area. And when you come across here, there are hundreds. I mean, these were hundreds of claims because not every one of these is a single claim. I mean, if I close in on this and I look at this particular area, there might be multiple. Look at that. That's all the claims that was in that area. All the claims in that section right there. That's a lot of research. Now, the last thing I want to talk about on topo maps is it doesn't do you any good if you've picked an area and you've done some research if you can't get there.
Right.
So
ingress is everything.
Yeah, ingress is everything. And I will tell you that I've worked in this particular area more than once. And by being able to follow some of these trails and find a mine shaft and find the prospects and all these other things, it made it a lot easier, much easier, because I knew that I had a way to get there. But if I want to look at an area right in here, that might be a little bit tough. I'm going to have to figure out. And if you look at this, this is really, really steep. So I just have to figure those things out. And that's what the mapping is. So in my planning, I'm going to check with regulations. I'm going to check and find out exactly what the land status is. Now, in a lot of this, there is other mapping that you might want to take a look at because there are patented claims. Take a look at that real quick because you're already online. Just go to the county and look at the GIS information or the plat maps and so on like that, because a couple of these mines in this area are privately owned mines, and they're patented land. So I'm going to stop the screen share.
Okay, let me go back to us.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot more I can actually say about mapping. So again, going back over it, use your topo view. Topo is king. Use that topo view to really see what you're looking at.
Right.
Use the satellite view to give yourself that virtual boots on the ground. And of course, you know where you're at, Forest Service, BLM, make sure that you're not on somebody's claims. And you can do that by using a lot of different programs. There's Minecache, Earthpoint, the two that I use, which are subscription-based, by the way, and then using the BLM or LR2000. So there's a lot of ways to make sure that you're not getting onto somebody else's claims. Right. You just have to take a little bit of time and do that.
Right.
Check your ingress. Make sure that you can get there.
Right.
Make sure that you can get there. And like that one where it said pack trail, four-wheel drive, Jeep trail, believe me, if it says that it's a pack trail, you're going to need a high clearance, probably very small, four-wheel drive.
Right.
I wouldn't try going in there with the lifted crew cab, one-ton four-wheel drive dually.
Right.
If it says pack trail, man, it's a pack trail.
Right.
Okay,
and,
now.
And one thing before we go, I just want to make sure to mention again, topo maps, the great thing about them is it shows you why the gold was there.
Absolutely.
Satellite, you see the ground features, even the evidence of mining. So again, as we talked, virtual boots on the ground, you have to use them together.
Yeah, and you know what? That's such a good point. I'm going to share the screen again. I've got some major mines in this area. I've got the Big Chief, the Jersey Lily, which the Jersey Lily has its own whole story behind it. And you just need to know Arizona lore to really understand all of that. But the buzzards and everything else like that. So look at where these mines are. And when I turn off the topo view, can you really tell where those mines are? And no. If I turn off all these programs, if I get rid of everything that I've got going on and all these different programs, you really don't know that there's mines there when you're looking at it in the satellite. You don't see them. You might see what might be a little bit of a working, and it would make you want to go take a better look at it. But that's it. That's all you get. So topo is king. Learn to use a topo. Spend time learning it, knowing all that there is to do it. All right. So now let's jump into the gear prep. Gear prep is so important. And because in that second step, I established that there was gold there. And I learned about how these guys were working. Now, I'm going to talk about this, but part of this goes back in the planning. I'm sorry. I should have just stuck with that one for a little bit longer. When you're planning your trip, plan on the weather. Look at what you're looking at. Now, and this is where this all comes together. Two men with a rocker box. Now, they were close to a stream. They were close to a creek or a wash. Why weren't they using a sluice box? Were they out of the season? You know, they were using a rocker box. So, and for those of you that don't know what a rocker box is, it's a box that you literally rock back and forth, and you use a dipper, like a water dipper, to wash the material out.
Right.
Great way to recover gold, but it's slow. It's very tedious work to do it like that.
Right. That means the water was there, but not moving.
Right. So when you're doing your planning, plan around those things. You learn something. You learn that two guys by a stream with a rocker box were working fine silted gravels. And those silted gravels in medium cobbles. Well, cobbles is a big word. Cobbles don't just fall off the mountain. Cobbles are done by water. You know, they become those cobbles, those rounded cobbles, because of that. So those are, you know, those are a couple of extra tools. Now, when I'm gearing up to go to this area, and I pick those areas, I'm going to look at the weather for that. Do I want to go out there and take my rocker box and be out there in maybe the early summer? Or am I going to go out at a particular time to where maybe at the beginning of spring, to where in this area there's mountain runoff and so on like that? Am I going to have water? Am I going to be able to plan and know what that is? Well, again, GPA member, go to the printed mining guide, and at the bottom of every page on a claim, it shows you the median temperature, and it also shows you the rainfall. So if I'm looking at this area, this other area that I will not talk about where it is, I chose to go out in early spring to work this area because my thought process was that I was going to have more water, actual water. Now, did I throw my rocker box in? Absolutely, I did, just in case I was wrong. So I go out and I've got all my gear. So I've got two sets of gear. I've got my prospecting gear, which are the tools that I need to do the basics of prospecting. Now, I'm also going to pack my mining gear, and I'm going to base that on what my prospecting gear is, and two sluice boxes that I love to take with me. One of them is the Aurora Mining product, the Recon, which is a small sluice, and then the Expedition, which is exactly what it says it is. It's the big guy. So I've got a prospecting tool and I've got a mining tool. I've got flags for prospecting. I've got flags for, you know, where I'm going to work and so on. All of these different things. And I'm going to gear up. And like I said, I've got this box and this box. And I'm going to head out now. I have all of my gear. And I also always carry a metal detector with me. And I'll talk about that in the next step. So I've got my plan, I've got my gear, I go out, I'm on the site. Now, again, back to my story, I'm looking at this area, and I know that there's two or three spots that I'm really looking for. Mm-hmm. I'm not ignoring anything else, but this right here, this step right here, next to not making a decision to go prospecting, this is the number one point of failure.
Yes.
For everyone.
Yes.
Everyone. If you're new to prospecting, you have a tendency, and believe me, I speak from experience, like all of us have done. You see, okay, there's gold, and I'll just use, all right, there's gold at Lynx Creek in Yavapai County in Arizona. We know there's gold there. There's a Lynx Creek panning area that it's open to the public. We know that there's gold there. So you drive down the Lynx Creek, you jump out of the car, you grab your gold pan, you grab a classifier and a little shovel, and you jump in there and you start shoveling and you find two or three pieces of gold.
Right.
Okay. That's not good enough.
Okay.
That's not good enough. Because if you read back in the history books, you'll even read about things that they talked about Lynx Creek, of where the gold was coming from. So the single biggest point of failure is the site survey. When you go to that location that you made the decision to go to, you did the research, you did the planning, you did the gearing, you've done all of this work up to this point, and each step building your confidence to jump out of the truck and run over and just start working.
Yeah, run to the first spot.
Yeah, the first spot you see, the 3R. Guy parks his car, steps out 20 feet away, doesn't find any gold. Disappointed, drives off. You go out there, you walk up 100 yards, and you get into great gold. It's a site survey. You do not go prospecting. You're not to prospecting yet. Right now, and I'll just use my experience on this one spot as an example, I knew what I was looking for, so I started walking. Now, I had about a mile and a half area that I needed to cover, but I know that I'm looking for an area where there's exposed conglomerate or caliche that has cobble on it, that has, you know, at that particular time, silted sands into it, just small silted gravels. All right, the gravels are going to move. Everything's going to move. Everything's been there. But things like the conglomerate of Caliche Base and the Cobble, that's really not going to move that much. It may get moved, but more is going to come in. So I know I'm in a waterway, and I start walking, and I'm looking for the things that match what I found in my research.
Right.
That I put into the planning stage that I found by looking at the maps. I take all of that information, and those are the areas that I go out and I walk. Now, I always carry a metal detector with me, and I always carry a pan in my backpack. And I don't care if it's wet, I'll do some wet panning. If it's dry, I'll do some dry panning. And yes, I'll do a video about dry panning. I promise I will. But I don't use the metal detector to find gold because I'm not looking for gold at this point. All I'm doing is looking at the area. Now, I've got three spots. I've got three spots, and I've got a mile, like I said, a mile and a half. And I locate those three spots. I'm looking at this, and I see these areas. Well, I'm going to grab my metal detector, and I'm going to swing across this area. I'm not looking for gold. I'm looking for any resemblance that a human being has been there. That's all I'm looking for because I'm doing the site survey. First place I went to, nothing, not a thing. Didn't mean that I'm not going to test it further when I get to that point, but it's off the board right now. I got into the third site. Actually, I'll skip through. Got to the third site, turned on the detector. I'm looking at everything, and everything is matching just like it did at the other two sites. But I start swinging my coil, and the first target I found is one of those old meat keys, that you had on those cans of whatever, corned beef, whatever it was, whatever potted meat that they had at that particular time. And then looking around again. And a little bit more, I started finding old tin cans, and they were placed in an area, which tells me that's a dump.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, two guys in the 1800s, 20 miles or 15 miles from town, out in the middle of frickin' nowhere.
Right.
And they're prospecting there, and they're making $4 a day. They're not going back to a hotel at night. They're staying there. They're living there. They're mining. That's their mining site.
Right.
So I started finding those things. And that gave me my first test spot. So I marked it. I went through everything else. I finished my site survey. I walked around verifying that everything that I'd read in my research and everything that I'd done in my planning and my mapping was correct. At this point, my confidence level is off the screen. It's sure. Way up here. Yeah, I know. I'm off the camera. I know that. My confidence level's there because now I'm looking at this and I'm finding debris from the 1800s. I'm finding things that were left. And I just know this has to be the spot. Hmm. Is it? I don't know. Is it a great possibility? You bet. So I've done the site survey. Now it's time to start prospecting and testing. And those are two completely different things. So, Kevin, you've got the best analogy. And I, quite frankly, man, I need a drink. So talk about testing and prospecting real quick. Right.
Prospecting is finding the presence of gold. Testing is scaling the gold, making sure that you've got enough gold to make it viable to mine.
Right. So many people think that it's one and the same.
Sure.
And it's not. So many people make the mistake of taking testing and prospecting and putting it into the same bucket.
Sure.
Prospecting is nothing more than establishing gold. It's just like step two. I'm going to establish that gold was found in this area. Now I'm going to prove that number two step.
Right.
And that is, that could be a couple of holes or whatever. All you're looking to do is to find gold. So you go out, you make a couple of holes. You know what? I've got a screen share. I've got another screen share. Let me bring that up and I'll show you. This is something that you and I both, this is a tool that both you and I use. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to say that this is an area that I'm looking at, and the blue dot in the center of that is a place that I found gold. I established that there was gold in that location. Now I have to start testing. My prospecting is over. I've established there's gold there. So I have proved step two. I have proved step two. My confidence level's up. Now I have to break it into dollars per yard. So I'm going to start doing testing. And I don't know, can you see my cursor on the screen?
Yes.
All right, so using my cursor, I've established that there's gold here, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to dig a test hole, and I'm going to head out from where I found that gold. It doesn't really matter. And I'm going to test these, and I'm going to get going and going and going all the way across this area. Well, in this one, I found three colors. In this one, I found eight colors. In this one, I found, you know, 15, 20, all the way up. But here, I get into, like, 40 colors. And then over here, I've got 45 colors. And then I get back over here, and it drops way off. Maybe it's 20 colors. Maybe it's 10 colors. Maybe it's just nothing at all. Well, I've established what I'm just going to call the east-west. And believe me, don't go out there with a compass thinking that this is just for establishing. So I've established my east-west line. Now I have to figure out where the flow line is and how that material was placed in there. I have to figure out the why. So how did that material come in there? So I'm going to start in between here, my two highest readings, and I'm going to start working. And this is where having a partner, a prospecting partner, is so beneficial, because one can go one direction, the other one can go the other direction, and you're just testing. You're testing. You're not prospecting. You know the gold's already there. You've already got the gold. But now I want to find out where that gold trended. Now, you may end up digging some holes over here like this and like this, but you're going to follow the highest line. So let's just call these 40 colors, and this is 40, 45, 40, 30, you know, as you go on. Same way going this way. Now I know the flow pattern. Now I know where that gold is laying. My testing is complete. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a prospecting partner with you, man, you know your gold value. You've just established your dollars per yard. And I know we all talk about it's not about the gold, it's about finding the gold, so on like that. And I'll tell you what, I agree with that. It's not necessarily about the gold, it's finding the gold. But I do enjoy finding more gold. I'd rather hit a spot and to spend a little bit of more time doing my testing and having a 40 color spot or more than having a 5 color spot. So this is imperative that you establish that the gold's there, and then you start doing your testing. We're ready. So you've done all this work. You've done your prospecting. You've done your testing. You've started getting that material ready. You're getting it ready to go, and you've got the sluice box set up, not the testing sluice box, not the prospecting sluice box,
right,
or the site survey. You've established your value. You know what you've got. In my case, I've got the expedition set up. I've got everything ready. And I've got to tell you, and I'll go over them very quickly again. Make a decision, pick an area, do your research, do your planning, choose your gear, do your site survey.
Right.
Do not fail by not doing your site survey. Then do your prospecting, do your testing. And the moment you take that first prep bucket of material and you walk over to the sluice box and you set it down and you take that green scoop and you throw that material into the sluice box, congratulations. You are no longer a prospector. You're a miner.
You're a miner.
You are a miner. And that is what you want to do.
Right.
You want to be a miner. And it, you know, when you think about a miner, it doesn't have to be the guy that's out there running a big hard rock. You've taken every step. You know where your highest value is, and now you're running it.
Yes.
Your confidence level is absolutely spot on by taking the steps and doing what you need to do to go from making a decision to being a miner.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
You betcha.
Congratulations. Take everything about this. Don't let it overwhelm you. Take it, tear it apart, put it into the compartments where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Put it into the box. if it doesn't have anything to do with how the material was being run or what it was, take it out of the box. Your research box established gold. Everything else was just you reestablishing the gold that you know is there.
Right.
I think that's about it. And if you will do these, I'd love to hear your stories. I would love to hear about those of you that go from feeling overwhelmed to now going out, and at the end of the day or the end of a week or whatever, you're out there, you're not prospecting, you're mining. I want to hear your stories. Please share those things with me. I'll have my email address down below. I'll also have some links to some of the programs that I use and different things and other things that you can use for research. So all of those will be in there. The most important thing to do is make a decision and go prospecting to become a miner.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. I know this has been long, but I know in my heart of hearts that this will help you, because I was in this spot. I developed this for me 40 years ago, and quite frankly, it has been one of the major keys to my success as going from an idea to mining. And it doesn't matter where you're at. If you use the same steps over and over and over,
right,
it will take you from a decision to being a miner. Thank you very much. And again, all I want you to do is become better. Until the next time, please be good to yourself, be good to others, and go mining after you go prospecting.